5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Why can't you do your helmet up, fathead?
Put moron number two on the phone.
It's too tight, and I couldn't get it around my chins.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Oh, Monday, how good do we feel? She's very, very nice after a wild and woolly weekend, by the way. And I'll tell you what we got on today. Fat is Damo, of course, talk footy. You've got some stuff you want to throw at him.
I'm hearing some things
you've heard.
I'm hearing stuff, Jim.
Oh, no, and then Tommy Hawkins joins us from the farm. Yes. This man's got Angus cattle, and he's just out on the farm with his beautiful family, and we're going to have a talk to the hawk, and then he is going to run you through the quiz. Hello to you, Fat.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. Great to see you, and great to see this man, old Fatty Rabsy.
Sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire.
We've got Martin Rice on here. A doctor, of course.
That was when you called Dr. It. Martin Rice. Mrs. Doubtfire and Marty.
And Marty.
I don't know if he actually took to it either.
No, he didn't at all, Bill. No, he didn't. He didn't take to it at all.
Come on, actually. Marty.
That's what happened to him.
Hey, Jim, something's caught my eye today. I was looking through the racing, the fields today at Ballarat.
Oh, yes.
And there was a horse in race two, number five, called Bill Jim.
Into the straight, Bill Jim the inside with Sangria Miss, Bloom and Crafty joining in, marketing the deeper stouts looming up as well, and then the magic never ends at the 200. Bill Jim, Sangria Miss, Bloom and Crafty, marketing just can't quite reach them. It's Bill Jim, Sangria Miss and Bloom and Crafty with 100 to go. Sangria Miss, Bill Jim kicking back, Bloom and Crafty driving at the pair. Sangria Miss, I think, has won it in the middle from Bloom and Crafty and Bill Jim.
Oh, third Jim.
Well, if it was Jim, Bill, it would have won. No, they put your stupid name first.
Got it around the right way, my friend. Mm. But I think it's just a bit like one of the owners just got a bit heavy towards the end, Jim, and fell off. Now,
hey, I'll tell you what's going on. I know you got your sports wrap coming up. So we're going to do that, and that'll be fantastic. I'll tell you what's going on around where I am, Bill, and as you know, I've socially distanced hours away from you down the coast.
Yeah.
Is the police very strongly starting to patrol up and down the streets, making sure the houses are empty, or if they're not, then they've got the appropriate amount of people in it. They've started to wind it up, our police force.
They have, and fining people. There was a L-plater just in Melbourne, or in South Melbourne, wasn't it, Rabsy? What happened? Got caught?
Apparently they were driving down to Frankston, so $1,700 fine.
$1,700 fine because it wasn't essential, Jim. Mm.
That's it, Bill. Mm. So I have noticed the presence lifting.
Exactly, which is good. We need that because
Well, the curve is flattening.
The curve is flattening, but we've still got to be resolute.
Resolute.
Hey, Jim. Sports wrap. Thanks, Raps.
Oh, come on.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Jim, our listeners do like hearing about other sports other than golf, football and cricket, you flog.
Yes,
it's
Jim.
Billy's All Sports Report.
Speaking of golf, Bill, did you know that South Australia and New South Wales, you can still play golf?
I know.
Our Nana State, our PC bloody joint has shut all golf courses down. I say to Andrew Newbolt, former president, very good president of the Hawks, who's president of the golf year, open them back up. It's a disgrace. It's an outrage. Keep going with your
I
report.
Tend to agree with you on that one. The Belarusian Premier League are still going. They're still going, Jim, over there. And my team, Sletska, has won again. Well, how would you say this word?
Who'd they play against?
They played against Izlok.
Well, they hate them.
They hate Izlok. S L U T S K. How would you say that, Jim?
Well, it's amazing that you've picked that team out as your team.
Well,
isn't it?
They're very good, Slatska.
Because there's an entendre in the name that makes you and your imbecilic mind giggle.
Anyway, they're going very well. Now, speaking of horse racing, I've got a new love. Natoya is my new love. She won on the weekend. She won the Doncaster Mile, $1.5 million race up there in Sydney, Jim.
Yes.
She was last and went bang over the top of them, won the Doncaster Mile, paid $41.
Ooh.
And guess what she loves to eat and drink?
What?
Jack Daniels and Coke.
No way.
And her favourite food is pizza. So they just feed her slabs of pizza and she eats it and drinks the beer and Jack Daniels and Coke.
No chance.
Good on her.
Jack Daniels and Coke.
Yep, so well done, Natoya. Very good win on
Black
the weekend.
Rat.
bought for $20,000 and just won $1 million on the weekend. So that was good. Do you know who Kyle Walker is, Jim?
Yes.
Plays for Manchester City.
Manchester City. Yeah. What happened to Kyle?
Well, he's all over this coronavirus lockdown, and he had this to say to all the soccer fans.
Hope everyone is well. Don't forget to stay at home, protect the NHS, and save lives.
Exactly. Very nice of him to do that, Jim.
Nicely done. Nice. Community sort of announcement.
Guess what he did over the weekend?
What did he do?
He hosted a sex party with two hookers and his mate.
Come on, Bill.
He hosted a sex party with his mate and two call girls at his flat.
Now just after he'd given the announcement out to stay safe.
Exactly right. So I look forward to his apology because that'll be interesting.
Come on,
What about old Bernie, the Formula F1 owner? Bernie.
Formula.
Former F1 owner.
So you've Formula merged two words.
F1 owner.
Bernie Eccleston.
Oh, no.
Do you know how old he is, Jim?
Oh, no.
89, and he's expecting his fourth child.
No.
When his son is born, he'll be 90.
No way.
His eldest daughter, Deborah, is 65.
No
chance. That's his eldest daughter, and then his other two daughters are Tamara, 35, and Petra, 31. His wife is 43, Jim, and he's expecting his fourth child. He's going to be 90.
No.
I didn't know you could... Still,
well, she must have been artificially inseminated.
Well, I don't know, Jim. They haven't said that in here. Now, I know the F1s are boring, Jim, but come on, Bernie. You can find
Come on, Bern.
Yeah. Come on, Bern.
Come on, Bern.
His fourth kid at 90. Speaking of kids being born, Jim, you won't believe this. This is all part of the
sports rap. Yes.
Sports rap. A lady in India has just given birth to twins. And she has named them the boy, COVID, and the girl, Corona.
No way.
True dinks.
True dinks.
True dinks. Presti Verma gave birth to a boy, COVID, and the girl, Corona. That is unbelievable. And you know why she did? To spread happiness, not fear.
Said true dinks.
Yep, true dinks, true dinks.
Who says that?
True dinks.
No one since 1970.
No, not since I was in primary school, actually, and that was in the 70s.
Fell off me dinosaur when I heard that.
That's it. Thank you, Bill. Yeah.
And
speaking to the mic, mate.
No, I'm just looking for other news.
You needed that orange thing in front of you. You need to sort of talk into that a bit. Yeah. So is that the India sports
wrap? That's it, yeah.
That's just rambling, isn't it?
But
just
it's rambling good stuff. I tell you what, people would go to the kitchen table tonight. And they'll go, Do you hear what Bill said tonight? What about this? This lady in India named her kids COVID and Corona.
Yep. I don't think anyone will do that, funnily enough. But let's get the show started. Damo shortly, and we need to talk some footy with him.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
Welcome.
Coats higher first, Bill. Are we still coats higher, Rabbits?
No, not for the moment. They're just chilling
coats
out.
Coats higher. Well, we're giving them one more day of value because they've supported Purple nicely. Fat.
I'm hearing two things, Damien. One,
The
training for all the AFL boys may start on May the 4th, which the force will be with you. And they start training then. They train for 3 weeks, Damien, and then we kick off on May 31. You heard that?
Where are you hearing this from, Bill?
I'm not telling. I can't give up my sources.
Well, I think you need to, Bill, because I'm not hearing that at all.
Oh, come on, Fat.
Well, do you want to say anything about it? But
part of what you said there is I think the only thing we can take to the bank in this uncertain time, and that is that there will be a 3-week pre-season window for the clubs whenever that time comes, Bill. But that May 4th timeframe that you're referring to was the initial timeframe the AFL gave the clubs when they said they were halting the competition till a minimum of May 31. So that's an old time frame, Bill. I don't see that being the one that that kicks into place. I say that, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you're right, but I just don't see that unfolding that way, Bill, given the conversations that footy club people are having with each other and also with the conversations that are clearly going on at a far higher level than that being the AFL with the government itself.
Well, I'm half full and you're half empty, as usual. Also, I'm hearing, Damien, there's going to be three hubs of six teams that each hub goes to a different state, say Perth, six teams play there, six teams play in Adelaide, six teams play in Melbourne. there's exemptions to go over the borders because it's AFL footy and we've got to get footy playing again. Is there any truth in this?
Yeah, there is, Bill, and you're right to raise it. It's one of, I would say, 50 potential scenarios that are being talked about now behind the scenes. Again, there is so much that's required to happen for that to be the case, but ultimately it does, I suppose, hark right back to the core objective now of the AFL and its players, and that is to get these remaining 16 games away for each club. And that would allow a resumption of play to take place where the teams themselves could be in those hubs that you identified there for three and a half weeks and to potentially get five games away. Pretty much across the board in a shortish time frame, just to get the competition rolling again. But again, Bill, you did refer to this yourself, that the state borders at the moment having bans placed upon some of them in both states and territories, and the exemptions required for that to happen is something that no government right now could actually confidently predict. But yeah, I think you're right in raising this possibility now about teams going into those centres just to get the competition underway again.
Purple, those exemptions interest me. Is it in the community interest for the AFL to go to the government and say, listen, we're in lockdown, people can't leave their homes, it's a very, very difficult time for everyone, but football's almost a community service, so let's make sure that we give testing priority and let's make sure we give, you know, border exemptions so that we can get these games started so people who are sitting at home and can't do anything at least get to watch the footy. Is there something in that?
Yeah, there is, Jim, and the way I read it is it's similar to what's being allowed to happen with horse racing at the moment. Now, they basically breach the distancing guidelines every time one of the gate attendants puts a horse into the barrier. Jockeys obviously are hoisted onto horses, but I raise that in the context of which you asked that question, Jim, is because there is an awareness from the governments that the employment attached to that industry is so immense. And obviously AFL is an employment industry as well en masse. It is also a feel-good component to the sports side of it. And there is an undertaking and an understanding at the governments. And look, like you and like Bill, I've been as critical of any government around the world in recent times as to what they're doing. But I really feel what we've had in Australia at the moment, state-wise and federal-wise, is as good as we could have possibly have got. And I reckon, to your point, there is a factoring in of the good that could come of AFL clubs being given exemptions for those state boards.
And so, Purple, you get the bleeding hearts and the, you know, the anti-footy people who go, why should they get testing exemptions? Why should they be able to go across borders when other people can't? Bad luck. You know, the government just turns around and says, we see this as something that our people need and want, so let's make the exemptions, make sure we can do all the testing so that all the club people are clear, and then put the games on so that if you're stuck at home in Deer Park, you get to watch the footy. I can't see how anyone loses.
Yeah, look, the logistics around it are immense, aren't they, at a time of shutdown and how, you know, you'd expect to send, as Bill was saying, six clubs effectively to the one part of the country and just hope that they don't again become infected with it. And I still can't see that being the way out. But clearly what's happened is an open-minded approach to everything. And that's inclusive of even, I would say, a near likelihood now of a rule being implemented to allow extra interchange players on the club list. We spoke to Chris Scott, didn't we, the three of us on the weekend, along with Duck and BT. And he was really open to that. In fact, I've since been told that he's driving that, or at least throwing it up as a possibility behind the scenes, as a lot of other coaches are as well. And it just makes sense, doesn't it? If we're going to be asking the athletes to cram three games inside a, you know, maybe a 2-week period and possibly even shorter time frame than that, well, yeah, the more numbers on the bench allows the clubs to bang those games out in quick succession, if indeed it does stretch way beyond what Bill is hopeful of, that being a late May resumption.
31, they train for 3 weeks and they're into it May 30. You heard it first here on the Rush Hour. Also, Damien, I heard over the weekend. Now, you hear all these things, and sometimes they're over the drip tray. Well, not at the minute because pubs aren't open. But
thank you, Bill.
If there was no football this year, no games played at all, Damien, only four AFL clubs could survive. That being West Coast, Collingwood.
This was in the newspapers Thursday last week.
No, not people haven't caught up with it, Jim. Is that true?
Well, effectively, Bill, yeah. That what has happened, though, is with the government, the banks giving the AFL the $600 million lifeline in a loan sense, that will mean that doesn't come into play. Without that particular guarantee from the banks, Bill, that story would become more dramatic than it is. They're going to get through until the end of this year regardless. It's going to be a nightmare, quite possibly forever, if they don't play games.
Yep.
But in terms of the clubs folding, no, because of that financial lifeline that was given to the AFL. But they will make sure it is dispersed in a way that removes the possibility of that being the case inside the calendar year of 2020.
Well, you've heard it all first here today, Jim.
Just a story, Bill, that was maybe in the last 12 hours rather than back into last week. But, Damo, we love speaking to you, of course, and look forward to speaking to you again during the week.
Damo's recovery session.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M with JB and Bill.
Goes for Hawkins! Oh, nice hitch and climb from Big Hawk. Not a heap of angle, and the kick's good. Don't you love seeing that in the final from your big man?
You do.
And he's played some magnificent finals for the Cats over the journey, Big Tommy Hawkins, who's now just ensconced on the farm, Bill, down there in Geelong, and we get him on the line. Nice to speak to you, Hawk.
Jim, how are we, and Bill?
Hello, Tomahawk, third in the all-time goal-kicking at Geelong, no. Jim, behind Ablett, Wade, Hawkins, Stevie J, and then Brownless. But is the farm out there, Hawk? I tell you what, I follow you on Instagram, and some lovely shots from out the farm, mate.
Yeah, it's going well, Bill. We're quite lucky to be spending this isolation period where we are. It's nice. I mean, although the weather was average on the weekend, it's been really enjoyable, I suppose, in a pretty bleak period of time over the last 3 weeks. So a bit of time with the family, which has been nice too. I suppose you can get caught up in the negatives of what's happening, and no doubt that it is very devastating, but it's an opportunity for me to spend a bit of time with the family, so that's nice as well.
Came off a farm and son of a farmer, of course, Hawk. So Finley. I would put you in the legitimate farmer category. And I see where Ben Cunnington down at Warrnambool has also got himself a couple of hundred acres and a heap of black Angus, and he's putting up, you know, doing the hay and all that sort of. So I think you two qualify, but there are some wanker farmers. Yes. Josh Gibson comes to mind, Hawk. People who have no idea.
Well, I won't comment on Josh, but one close to the show, Oscar Brownless, thinks that he's a bit of a semi-rural background. He's,
mate, I am. Well, I was, so I suppose got a little bit of blood in him. I was a rouse about at Drilldry there, mate.
Little bit of blood, not that much, but he's. How would you go now? Well, how the farm, the hands, sorry, you got farmer's hands? Or
no,
what?
No, I'm enconced in city life now. Fair to say.
Enconced. Yes, in I const, am. He reckons he is. Well, but, what are you doing there, Hawk, please? What have we got the Angus on there? What are you actually doing?
Yeah, so we run a few, we've got Angus cows and we've got a bull here. So we breed, F1, which is a Wagyu bull.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Over the Angus cows. So,
how many cows you got?
We've got 32 at this stage. Ooh, but
a bit like myself back in the day, Jim.
Oh, no.
In terms of what, Bill?
Back in the day with just the one bull and all the cows out there at the Lyric.
Oh, my God.
One service one, do you think? I had some sheep as well, but they're too much work for a part-time farmer.
Do you know what you're doing, or do you just follow the farmer next door like BT? BT used to do that.
Yes, he did.
The bloke next door would do some fencing, so he'd try and do some fencing, or he'd move the cows from that paddock to that paddock, so Brian would do that.
That's a good way of trying to attempt to do. But look, I actually, because Dad's a farmer, and my parents grew up. I was raised on a farm, and they're still there, so that's their occupation. So, I speak to Dad quite a bit about, I remember a few things from when I was younger back at home, and I try and implement those. But there's a fair amount of time that I speak to Dad on the phone about what to do. But the bloke next door actually, he's a deer farmer. Actually, he's an Italian background. He's a deer farmer. So I wouldn't go well, I reckon, if I was copping the neighbour.
Hey, venison, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. And Hawk, Bill was telling me off air that you ran into my second son. How did you have the misfortune of that?
Well, he's staying down the road from us at the moment. So we a lot of the people on our road where we are, just behind Ceres, is we're dropping a few things on and off at each other's places. So. We had the pleasure of getting some chili salt from Henry. He dropped it off. So nice to meet him.
Yeah, that would have been an enlightening conversation. That would have lasted about 2 seconds. I reckon.
He had some good things to say about you, Jim.
Is he? Yeah,
of course he did.
How fit are you? Would you be fit enough to play in 3 weeks, Hawk? Because I can just see you blowing up when you finish.
Got a fair point there, Bill. Oh, look, I'm not too bad. I actually have shed a few kilos, so in a lot of ways, this might be a good thing for me, just to drop a bit of muscle mass. But coming off pre-season and only playing, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago now, I'm still pretty fit. So it's a little bit. It'd take me maybe a week just to get up and running again, I reckon. Just the high speed stuff and change of direction that you probably miss, and the long kicking that we're not getting at the moment. So, within the rules the government rules with social distancing, I've been able to go for a kick with my teammates, and that may change. Or sorry, teammate. Let me clarify
yes,
that.
Yes, talk.
So I've been able to have a bit of a kick, but. I'm just not touching the balls as much, or we're probably just not touching the balls purely because it's hard to do that. Well, I don't think Emma, personally, she wouldn't be able to. Well, she mightn't want to, but no. It's just hard. You're just restricted a bit. So, I wouldn't be far off certainly being able to play straight away.
How is Em going? You're driving a mad hawk, or is she just getting through every day?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, Jim, to be honest. I'm pretty good to live with, I think. But I tell you what, there's one thing that we are doing, and that's opening a few bottles of red at the moment.
Oh, yes, please.
Earlier than we otherwise might have.
So. Nothing wrong with it, Hawk.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. It's hard to decipher the weekends if you listen to TV or the radio and listen to you guys. It's hard to know exactly what days. Which, so there's been a few occasions we might have just snuck one in over lunch.
It's very good for you. Don't worry about that for a second. Now, we're going to take a little break because we know that you guys on Zoom have been having the online meetings, the Cats, and you've been running the quiz out of the Herald Sun, which we're going to talk about next. And then we're going to hopefully you've got some questions ready for Bill.
Oh, good.
I'll see what I can find. Yeah, absolutely.
Tom Hawkins on the line. We're about to do a quiz with Bill, but just a little intro here for you, Hawk.
It's fun. How good's this quiz, Jimmy? Even quiz.
One from three.
Come on, Bill.
Nah, you're too dopey, Cole. Luke. Cole. I've got Cole down here. It's Luke, Jim. No. We got Trev. Trevy.
Yes, boys.
You only have to get one here, Trevy.
Oh, I probably have to get two.
One to tie and two to win. How many goals, Trevy? No. How many goals did Jack Revolt win? Kick to win the Coleman this year.
Oh, no.
Number three. Here we go. How many laps are there around Mount Palomarano?
Oh! Hawk, tell me you run a better quiz than that when the boys jump online.
Oh, that was very good. Look, it's been a bit difficult and challenging, not all being able to get together in a room. So I'd like to think maybe it's a bit better than that, but I do get a bit scratchy with some of the pronunciation of words. So I've actually one of the words I may have to spell out to you too.
Yeah, good.
Who's the best? Is Harry Taylor one of the Zoom contestants? Because I imagine he'd be pretty good.
Absolutely. Harry didn't tune in our last one, but Tom Stewart, actually.
Tom
Stewart. I'll give you a few because they'll be listening to this and they will be a bit disappointed if I don't mention. So probably the four are Mark O'Connor, Tom Stewart, Zach Tui.
Oh, the Irishman.
And Darcy Fort.
Big Darcy Fort? Big dopey ruckman?
The accountant, as I like to call him. Yeah.
Wow.
Very knowledgeable. Tom Stewart and Reg, I reckon. Yeah. Is actually probably have the broadest range of knowledge.
Well, Bill won't be, so let's see how you go with him. Hawk, how many questions are you asking him?
Oh, look, I've got five, but I can shorten it down, Jim, if you're running away. I can shorten it down. Yeah. So.
Good. Well, let's see how three. We go.
How many stripes are on the US flag?
Stars or stripes?
Stripes, Bill.
52 stripes. Stars. And
it's less than that.
Thank you, Hawk.
Sorry, stripes. There's less stripes. Than
right. How many stripes, Bill?
13.
Yeah, well done, Bill.
There is. Yeah.
Oh, that is no way.
I knew that, you idiot.
You've been told that, Hawk.
I knew that, Jim.
You are a disgrace. Well, this is like Brian cheating on the weekend.
Honestly, that was a guess. That was a guess.
Awake is a collective term given to a group of which animals?
Awake.
Awake. Now, I'd never heard of this animal.
Awake. That's when you get on the piss after someone dies. That's a very good day. I'll say foxes.
It's an animal. Yeah. Have you ever heard of buzzards?
Yeah.
That's it's what awake of buzzards.
Craig right Kelly.
Buzzards. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But I didn't know that one. Righto.
Here we go. Bill, you might know this one.
Yep.
Very tailored to you. If you suffer from a lactoriophobia, what would you have a fear of? A-L-E-K-T-O-R-O phobia.
What is it, Fat?
I'll say arachnogators.
Close.
What is it?
Very close. It's chickens.
Chickens?
Chickens.
Oh, wouldn't it be chickenophobia?
Because it isn't, Bill.
Right.
Suffers from that.
All right. So you're one from three so far, yeah. Fat.
Three. In which TV sitcom does Cafe Nervosa appear?
Where are you pulling these from?
Herald Sun. The Herald Sun.
Sitcom. Where is it? I should have pulled it up.
No, don't look at the paper.
He's got the paper in front of him.
We'll go with...
I can hear the rustle of the paper.
Seinfeld.
No, it's sort of that era, though.
Jeez, I'm going well here.
Fraser.
Oh, Fraser.
Fraser, yeah.
Never watched a second of it. Talk, yep.
Talk. He's called him Talk.
Talk.
Oh, come on.
That's fine.
Right, we got
last one. Here we go.
Last one.
What is the largest bone in the human body? The longest bone. The longest bone.
Well, that's a
no, Bill.
That's a doodle.
The longest, Bill.
My
not
doodle.
Organ bone.
We've seen you run through the park, Bill.
That's it. Exactly.
The what? The thigh bone.
Which is
the therma or whatever it is.
Thema.
That's it. Two out of five. Not bad, Jim.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
That wouldn't win, but it'd put you sort of
up there.
Bottom half of down at the Cattery. I tell you, you reminded me a bit of Joel Selwood today.
Yeah.
Just in terms of your quiz ability.
he's a bit dopey.
Yeah, he's a bit dopey.
Hey, Hawk. Bill. You're a very good-looking man, okay, and a beautiful wife and two beautiful girls, of course, called Primrose and Arabella.
Well done, yeah.
Yeah, well done. But I did see you sunbaking on the weekend, 16 degrees, and I love Jackson Thurlow's comment about the chest hair. So you don't do any manscaping, do you, for a good-looking man?
Oh, look, I manscape, but just not on the chest. I've made a conscious decision this year. I'm 31, turning 32 in July, and I thought there comes a time in a man's life where you've just got to grow your chest hair out. And although it be very patchy, that's what I've decided
good
to
boy.
Do. So,
I like that, Hawk. Good on you.
I did like Dingo Thurlow. He was right on to that. I knew I'd sort of open myself up there, but. I respected his comment.
That's right. There comes a time, Jim, when a man's a man, he's allowed to have hair on his body.
Well, like what it. About you growing some on your head, maybe?
Well, Hawk. But look at the chest. You got that
great,
on your chest.
Oh, look at him. He's now got his boobs out. Hawk, great chatting to you. Stay safe on the farm. Love to your beautiful family. Can't wait to see you playing footy soon.
Yeah, Jim. You too, guys. Take care.
It is the Rush Hour, James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless. Don't forget, download the Triple M app. Catch up with all our podcasts, including Bill's Idiot File.
And Smart Speaker.
Now, Bill, I've got an email already come in from Daryl.
Oh, good.
In Parkdale.
In Parkdale, James.
Daryl's down there.
Yeah, over there. Beautiful area.
Magnificent. He goes, did Bill just say there are 52 stars on the American flag? Is there actually 50 to represent the 50 states of America? So there aren't 52. So Daryl says here, so it's minus two stars, like your show.
Oh,
Bill, not bad. Bill and Rabs. Jim, you are the... That's what he says here. That's what he says.
Has he taken in Hawaii? I don't know if he has.
Bill, 50 stars on the flag represent the 50 states of the United States. According to Daryl from Parkdale, and my strong suspicion is that he is accurate.
And now, there's 13 stripes, which was very good.
Well, that is a complete miracle that you got that. Now, Fat, anything like a joke?
Well, no. Jim, first of all, I just want to ask you this question. The top 20 Tigers in the Herald Sun today are nearly probably the best five you'll ever see. This is in the modern era.
Right.
Are you ready for them?
Go on.
Dusty Martin.
Very, very, very good.
Matthew Richardson.
Extraordinary.
Alex Rance.
Amazing.
Jack Riewoldt.
Very good.
Trent Cotchin. There's five very good players there.
Yep. They are very, very, very good. Can't argue with any of them.
No, you wouldn't think.
All right, now, Fat.
Yes.
So people on a Monday, they're in lockdown. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They can't drive home probably. They're already sitting there. They're thinking, right, let's just wind this show up with something humorous.
Yeah, that's it.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
50 states and then Hawaii, 51, and American Samoa. It's 52.
We're talking about the stars on the flag, bonkhead.
Yes, and that's that. Anyway.
50.
Jim.
Yes.
If all the people on Earth stood 6 feet apart along the equator, okay?
Yes.
Many of them would drown.
Hit the song, rabbits. Dude, we're just going to finish on that note. Just leave it at that.
Hey, we got on tomorrow, Jim.
Many of them would drown.
Many of them would drown.
You reckon they would?
Yeah. Who's on tomorrow,
because they'd be standing in the ocean.
Yeah, that's it, Jim. That'd be on
Lance Armstrong coming on Saturday. Woo!
Saturday. What about tomorrow? Thanks, Cop. Very good, that. On the equator, many of them would drown, right?
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Come on, Bill. You are the king of the long. Get ready, dump my song.